Welcome back to the deep dive. And, usually at this point in the show, I'm introducing a stack of documents about quarterly
Right,
earnings.
something very concrete.
Exactly. Or like a meta-analysis on intermittent fasting, something really grounded in the here and now. But today we are going completely off-road. I have pulled a source that is, well, it's arguably the most unusual thing we've ever covered.
It is certainly a departure from the usual sauce metrics and supply chain logistics, isn't it?
Just a bit. We are looking at a website called blessedwishes.org, and I have to admit, when I first stumbled onto this, my skepticism radar went just phew right off.
Imagine.
I saw virtual candles and wish granting, and I'm thinking, okay, is this a scam? Is it a data harvest operation?
Yeah, right.
Is someone trying to sell me crystals?
Yeah.
But then I started reading the source text, the actual content hidden behind the buttons, and I realized we aren't looking at a tech product. We are looking at what I can only describe as a digital mythology.
That is the perfect way to frame it. I mean, on the surface, yes, it's a tool, it's a website. But if you look at the architecture of the site and the narrative it's built on, it's really an experiment in, well, digital anthropology. It's asking a very specific, very human question. Can you upload the concept of sanctity to a server? Can you code a feeling of holiness?
Which just sounds like a total contradiction, doesn't it? I mean, technology is efficient, fast, binary, it's ones and zeros. Sanctity is slow, mysterious, analog.
It's candle wax and incense.
Exactly. And that tension is what makes this specific deep dive so fascinating. We aren't just reviewing a website. We're looking at how ancient human needs, adapt to new environments. The whole site centers around a figure named Saint Leora.
And I'm guessing you, like most people, had never heard of her before this.
Not a clue. I actually Googled her immediately, thinking I, missed a day in European history class or something. I checked the Vatican archives, I checked Wikipedia. Nothing. She doesn't exist in the history books.
No, she isn't historical in that sense. She's a figure of folklore, specific to this quiet flame tradition that the website is preserving or, maybe inventing. But her backstory, which we're going to unpack in detail, it reads less like a religious biography and more like a lost cosmic myth.
It really does. It feels like something out of a fantasy novel or an ancient oral tradition. It's surprisingly heavy stuff for a browser window.
It really is.
So here's the roadmap for today. We are going to look at the digital sanctuary itself, how the website actually functions as a user experience, and why it's designed the way it is. Then we are going to pivot into the lore, because the writing here is surprisingly high level.
Yeah, we're talking about the age before ages and the space between stars.
And finally, we'll try to figure out how those two things connect.
Yeah.
How do you take a cosmic guardian of hope and turn her into a button you click on a browser? And I guess, does it actually work?
That's the million-dollar twister.
So let's start with the platform, blessedwishes.org. The sources describe it as a peaceful online space. When you first loaded it up, what did you make of the interface?
It's fascinatingly stripped back. I mean, think about your own experience on the internet today. It's noisy.
Oh, totally.
Every website is screaming at you to subscribe to a newsletter, accept cookies, watch a video, buy a product within the next 5 minutes. It's an assault on the senses.
Yeah.
This site is deliberately quiet. It uses negative space. The mission stated in the documentation is to bring comfort and mindfulness through, and I love this phrasing, a simple act of faith made possible by technology.
Made possible by technology. That phrasing stuck out to me too. It's almost apologetic
Yeah.
or maybe defiant, like they're saying, yes, this is a computer, but that doesn't mean it can't be spiritual.
I think it's explanatory. They're just acknowledging the medium. And they offer two main actions on the site. You can summon Saint Leora to hear a wish, or you can light a candle.
Okay, let's talk about the candle thing first, because we've seen this before, right? You go to a fundraising site, you pay $5, a little pixelated candle appears on a donor wall. It usually feels, well, transactional.
It feels like a receipt.
Yes, it feels like you bought a badge.
Right. But the source material here really emphasizes the interaction.
Yeah.
You aren't just buying a graphic. You're invited to summon a saint who represents a specific intention, healing, guidance, gratitude, strength. It forces you, the user, to pause and identify what you actually need before you click.
That's a good point. It's a moment of introspection disguised as a UI interaction. You can't just click go. You have to ask yourself, okay, do I need healing right now or do I need strength?
Precisely. And the site claims that each candle adds to a growing community of blessings. There's this concept in sociology called collective effervescence. It was coined by Emil Durkheim. It's that feeling of belonging and energy you get when you're part of a shared ritual-like being at a concert or a church service. Usually you need a physical crowd for that. This site is trying to engineer that feeling asynchronously.
Collective illumination of hearts around the world. That's the quote from their mission statement. It's pretty grand for a website.
It is.
Yeah.
But based on the user feedback in our source stack, it seems to land. We have this review from a user named Anna. She gave it 5 stars, which is funny in itself.
All right.
Aerating a spiritual experience like it's an Uber ride or a pizza delivery.
5 stars would achieve enlightenment again.
Exactly. Great service, very transcendent. But listen to what she actually wrote. She said, "A truly heartfelt experience. St. Leora truly listens to my wishes with care."
See, that part tripped me up. Truly listens. Anna knows she's typing into a text box. She knows there isn't a human or a saint sitting in a data center somewhere reading these in real time. So what's happening there? Why does she feel heard?
That is the power of the narrative wrapper. In computer science and psychology, there's something called the ELISA effect.
Okay.
It's the tendency for people to attribute human-level intelligence and empathy to computer programs if the program just uses the right language. Because the site frames St. Leora as a listener, the user projects that empathy onto the screen. The interface becomes a mirror.
So the website provides the silence, and the user fills it with the feeling of being heard.
Exactly. But for that projection to work, the character you're projecting onto has to be compelling. Which brings us to the entity herself. Because if the website is the temple, St. Leora is the deity. And the lore they've written for her is, well, it's not what I expected.
It is incredibly poetic. I was expecting something generic, you know, she was a nice lady who helped the poor. But the text says she comes from the age before ages, when the stars were still learning to shine.
I love that line. When the stars were still learning to shine, it immediately removes her from human history. She isn't Joan of Arc. She's a martyr from the 3rd century. She's elemental. She predates the physics of our universe.
She's older than gravity.
Basically. And then it gets to her location where she lives. The source says she's not of heaven nor earth, but of the space between.
The space between.
This is a massive concept in mythology. Anthropologists call it liminality.
Liminality. Break that down for us.
Sure. It comes from the Latin word limen, which means threshold. A liminal space is a state of transition. A hallway is a liminal space. It's not a room. It's the way you get to a room. Airports are liminal spaces. You're neither here nor there.
The waiting room of the cosmos.
That's a great way to put it. It's where rules are suspended and where change happens. And that connects directly to how the text defines her domain, where dreams are born and forgotten, wishes wait to be remembered. Okay. If she lived in heaven, she'd be too far away, too perfect. If she lived on earth, she'd be too mundane.
Yeah.
By living in a space between, she's accessible but still distinct. She's the guardian of the things we've lost in transit.
Exactly.
Forgotten wishes wait to be remembered. That line really hit me when I read it. It implies that a wish doesn't die just because you stopped believing in it. It goes into storage.
It's a preservationist view of hope. The lore says she emerged when the world grew heavy with doubt. So her job isn't to grant wishes like a genie. She's not Santa Claus. She doesn't give you the pony you asked for. She gathers fading embers of human hope.
She protects the potential of the wish, not necessarily the outcome.
Yes. And there's a specific trigger for her presence, right? It's not some formal Latin prayer. It's not a sacrifice. It's a very common phrase.
Yeah, the text says her flame appears whenever someone whispers, "I wish I could."
I wish I could. We've all said that, usually right before we sigh and go back to work. It's the language of regret, or maybe limitation. I wish I could fix this. I wish I could go back. It's subjunctive. It implies something contrary to reality. It's that moment of admitting your reality isn't what you want it to be.
And the source says her flame flickers nearby, unseen but steadfast. It's basically saying your vulnerability is a beacon. Which frames vulnerability not as a weakness, but as a summoning mechanism.
It transforms that moment of sadness into a connection. You aren't complaining, you're calling out.
Precisely.
There is also this metaphor about the dawn that I want to unpack. The source says she taught the dawn how to return each morning.
So that no night, however long, would believe itself eternal.
That is, look, I'm a cynical guy, I read a lot of dry reports, but that is a beautiful piece of writing.
It is profound resilience training wrapped in a myth. Think about depression or grief. Or even just professional burnout. The primary symptom is that feeling of permanence.
This will never end. I will always feel this way.
Right. The mythology here personifies the cycle of return. It says, the sun coming up isn't just physics, it's a promise. It's a lesson that was taught. It frames resilience as a skill, or a natural law you can rely on.
So we have this liminal being guarding forgotten wishes, ensuring the sun comes back, and she has this quiet flame. The notes emphasize that it's different from normal fire.
Yes. Normal fire is entropy. It eats, it consumes oxygen and fuel and leaves ash. It destroys to create heat. Liora's flame never burns nor consumes. It glows, quiet and patient.
It's light without destruction.
It's sustainable energy in a spiritual sense. It reinforces that idea of the space between being a stasis. The flame is a holding pattern. It reminds us all that even the smallest spark can find its way back to the light. It's not there to burn down the forest. It's there to guide you out of it.
Now, I want to talk about the visuals described in the text because they're very specific. We have the symbol, a single golden flame cupped by two open hands.
A universal gesture of protection. You cup your hands to keep a match from blowing out in the wind. It implies that the flame is fragile and that it needs us to protect it just as much as it protects us.
And the color, it's not just orange. It's described as soft amber. But the specific description is the hue of sunrise through fog.
Which circles right back to the dawn metaphor. But think about sunrise through fog. It's not blinding. It's not the harsh noon sun that exposes every flaw. It's diffused. It's gentle. It implies that clarity is coming, but it isn't here yet.
That fits the I wish I could vibe perfectly. It's tentative. It's not I will. It's I wish.
Exactly. If you're in a dim place, a spotlight is painful. A soft amber glow is inviting. It allows you to approach it at your own pace.
The source also lists where you can find her, and this is where the modern and the ancient really start to blend for me. It says, temples to her were few. She's not an institutional saint.
No, she's decentralized. She doesn't have a headquarters.
A decentralized saint? I like that. But listen to the locations. Her candles are found everywhere hope was needed. Bedside standard, that's where we pray or worry at night. Crossroads classic mythology. But then it lists studios.
That stopped me in my tracks too. Studios.
Why studios? That feels so specific.
I think it acknowledges that creation is an act of faith. Whether it's an art studio, a recording studio, a startup garage, you're facing a blank page or a blank screen or a block of marble. You are trying to pull something out of nothing. That is a very high-risk emotional state.
I wish I could make this good. I wish I was talented enough. I wish I could finish this.
Exactly. That is a prayer. It's a plea for assistance. Including studios validates the struggle of the artist or the creator as a spiritual struggle, not just a technical one. It says that trying to create beauty is a form of lighting a candle.
That is really powerful. And the list ends with hearts learning to begin again.
Which brings us right back to the user, the person logging on to blessedwishes.org. They're likely at a crossroads or in a studio of their own life, trying to begin again. Maybe they lost a job or a relationship ended. They're in the space between the old life and the new one.
So we have this ancient cosmic lore. And we have a website. How do they actually synthesize? Because on one hand, you have the age before ages, and on the other, you have CSS and HTML and JavaScript.
Well, the website is attempting to operationalize the myth. It takes the abstract concept of the quiet flame and gives it a user interface. When you click summon St. Liora, you are essentially performing a digital ritual. You're stepping into that space between for the 10 seconds it takes the page to load.
So the browser window is the liminal space.
In a way, yes. Yeah. Think about the internet. It isn't a physical place. It doesn't have geography. It's a network of connections. It holds our memories, our photos, our conversations with dead relatives, our old blog posts. The internet is the ultimate space between.
Whoa. Okay, so if St. Liora is the saint of the space between, she is technically the patron saint of the internet.
You could argue that.
Yeah.
Or at least the internet is the environment where her kind of stewardship is most needed. It's where we go when we're lonely. It's where we shout into the void. This website just gives the void a name and a face. It makes the void friendly.
There is a section on the site called The Gallery, which showcases moments of hope and wishes fulfilled.
And that's the proof of concept. It validates the user's hope by showing that others have hoped and found fulfillment. It's peer-reviewed hope. It tells you that you aren't the only one whispering, "I wish I could."
And there's a tagline mentioned in the source that feels like it bridges the gap between ancient wisdom and modern hustle culture. It says, "You didn't come this far to stop."
It is a fascinating choice of words. You didn't come this far to stop. It's aggressive, almost.
Yeah, it sounds like something a spin instructor would yell at you during a hill climb.
But in the context of Liora, it takes on a different meaning. It echoes the idea that she taught the dawn to return, It's not about productivity. It's about survival. It's saying you have survived 100% of your bad days so far. You've navigated the darkness before. Don't stop this streak now.
It frames resilience as momentum.
And notice the specific categories again that we mentioned earlier: healing, guidance, gratitude, strength. By asking the user to click one, the site performs a diagnostic function. Sometimes we feel bad, but we don't know why. We just feel heavy.
Right.
Having to choose between guidance and strength forces you to articulate your own need. That is therapeutic in itself.
That's true. Sometimes just admitting I need strength right now is 90% of the battle. We spend so much time pretending we're fine.
And that's why Anna, the reviewer, felt heard. The act of selecting the button was the act of articulation. The website didn't need to reply with a chatbot message. The acknowledgement was internal. She acknowledged herself.
It's interesting. We often talk about technology isolating us. We talk about how phones make us lonely. But here, we have a case study of technology trying to replicate the warmth of a candlelit shrine. Do you think it works? Can pixels replace beeswax?
Replace might be the wrong word. I think translate is better. The medium changes from wax and wick to pixels and code, but the human intent remains exactly the same. The fading ember of hope that Leora gathers in the myth. Today, that ember looks like a cursor blinking on a screen.
It's cursor blinking on a screen. That's the modern heartbeat.
It is. It's the pause before we type, I wish. It's the hesitation. Saint Leora lives in that hesitation.
So let's recap what we've uncovered here. We started with a website, blessedwishes.org, which looks like a simple digital utility for well-wishing. But underneath, we found a really sophisticated mythology about Saint Leora, a guardian who predates the stars.
We saw how the creators used that lore to transform a simple web page into a digital sanctuary. They took the concept of the space between liminality and mapped it onto the digital experience. They provided a place for forgotten wishes to live.
It really challenges the idea that the internet is just a cold, hard data repository. It reminds us that even online, we're still just people looking for a light in the dark. We still need rituals. We still need to believe that our wishes are safe somewhere, even if that somewhere is a server farm.
And that is the ultimate takeaway of the Leora story. It tells us that those wishes aren't gone. They aren't deleted. They're just waiting in the space between, glowing quietly, patient enough to wait for us to remember them.
That's a comforting thought. Even if you don't believe in the saint, the psychology of patient hope is powerful. It takes the pressure off. You don't have to fix everything today. You just have to light the candle.
Absolutely. The dawn returns whether you watch it or not. The flame waits whether you acknowledge it or not.
I think that is a perfect place to leave the analysis. But before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with a thought to mull over something inspired by the keeper of the quiet flame herself.
What's on your mind?
If Saint Leora really does reside in that space between, guarding the things we've let go of, what is a wish you, the listener, have forgotten that might still be waiting there for you? What is something you whispered, I wish I could, about 5 or 10 years ago that maybe deserves a second look?
That is a beautiful question.
Yeah.
Sometimes the most important wish isn't the new one, but the old one we gave up on too soon.
Maybe it's time to go find it. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Take care, everyone. Keep the spark alive.